Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order.
Hello, welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This is the final installment of Wolf Soccer Academy. And I hope you all will take time to listen to what they have to say. They offer a lot of great insight. I don't know what else to say. Their approach to this, and I do apologize to them. I did step on them when we were talking because I wanted to ask a certain question. And I apologize to them and my listeners that was kind of rude of me when we were talking. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
So as they move through your program, do you have outreach to other sites? I'm going to jump to about U12, U13 age groups, because I always joke with all the parents I talk to, you never know how good your player is until they go through puberty. And as a parent, I'll be honest, I think my son is above average player. I don't think he's this phenom player that when he was six, because movement of body is different now than when he was younger, and his athleticism, everyone's catching up to. He's never been a big kid, he's just athletic. But puberty changes everything. When you start hitting those ages, do you have programs to help them move them along to advance here in the States, or do you have programs to move them elsewhere, or is it just trying to stay local to where you have your academies?
No, we do have for past. Again, I'm talking about Canada because it was the first academy. By the age 13, I brought one player to Dortmund and to one of my friend's academy. And him, after one practice, I said, hey, we have to bring him to Borussia Dortmund for training to compare him. So he went there for one practice. After the practice, the coach comes to me and says, hey, wait, where is he coming from? I can't believe that he's so good. By the age 13, he was able to compete with Borussia Dortmund kids, which is Borussia Dortmund has every 100 parents knocking the door or agents to come to join the club. He was able to compete on the highest level. And he comes from Vancouver, from Canada. So you have all those talents and they are in Canada. Kids, you have a very talented place everywhere. You need to... Sometimes it's a timing, sometimes parents, sometimes a good coach open the door in a good time. Of course, You gotta ask parents what they really want for their kids. But if they are very talented, we have a path to help them with tryouts to Europe. And also, we have contacts to help them to get the MLS clubs, the MLS Next. And but like you said, you never know until you go to puberty. Like the kids, how much, especially in US and in North America, you have a, for example, you have a boy 9 years old, 10 years old, he's scoring so many goals by the age, by the 13, his average. And parents are like, what happened to you? How come you're not good anymore like that? Basically, everybody is catching up. You're focusing too much on fitness and like physique instead of a technique and the right foundation. For example, in Ajax Amsterdam, they don't care about lifting by the age 12. No one lived there. In Canada, kids 10 years old, they're lifting, they jump, they have fitness coaches. In Ajax Amsterdam, no, until 30, until they build their muscle, 14, 15, they work on the football things, which is the main football development is about the ball. You play with the
Right.
ball, right? So.
I get a lot of insight because we have connections with a few clubs here, and they said that at younger ages, I find this mind-blowing still, even though I've been told it a dozen times probably by now, is, and talked about it even more, is clubs over in Europe say, don't have them play with a ball. And ball is, let's teach them how to move their body, go play games running around without a ball so they understand bumping into someone, how it works. Because once you add the ball into the element, if they know how to hit someone with a shoulder and they don't fall down, now you put a ball in the equation, they hit someone, they can still keep control because they know how to move their body without the ball. And then you throw the ball into it. It was funny because when they told me this, it as a parent, like they said, they actually said my parents would lose their mind if I spent a whole training session without a ball at 5 years old.
Well,
And it was funny because they were talking about the physical movement. I think what you're talking about in the older age groups, taking them over to other countries to letting them see, I don't think parents truly understand. They have had, Alex, and you talked about the foundation, building your home. They've had all that already. And now I feel like here in the States, we are behind. Because we don't build foundation because we base everything off athleticism and not the technical side.
also, the thing is, majority of the players and young players, they train twice per week, right? Then they have to find skills coaches or they train with parents, which it's a big, it's a, they have my big respect, the parents who find the time and kick the ball with his daughter or her daughter, their daughters. And that's the best for the, for also for young players to just kick the ball with the parents, right? We had, especially players who are from recreational, they came to our academy and they wanted to have a private training, spending a lot of money for private training. I said, or we said, it's not the time for private training, right? Go and kick the ball 20, 30 minutes at home if you have time. I understand that some parents, they don't have time, they work a lot, maybe they don't have siblings to kick the ball with. So the problem is that they train only twice per week, which us, we train even in the age of 5, 6, 7, you train 3, 4 times per week, and then we kick the ball around with siblings on the streets. So we had thousands and thousands of touches, which the players here are missing. And the time flies. And once you start to train 3 times in MLS or ECNL girls or the higher level, your age of 14. And imagine 6 to 14, that's 8 years of two practices per week. There's 52 weeks. You don't train all the weeks. So you have 600, 700 practices compared to Europe when you have 2, 3, 4 thousand practices, right? So I think that's the biggest problem here, that they train only twice per week. And then they have 6, 7, 8 games. Which I think during the weekend, which I think the game should be the highlight of the whole week, and have less games and more trainings.
I won't disagree with that philosophy. I had a coach tell me that there's a difference between training and games. You can go train for 3 hours, 5 days a week, and then go play in a 60-minute, I'm used to talking about younger, any age group. They can go play in whatever length of time a game is, and that's going to be more exhausting than those 3-hour sessions. And I have my opinion on 3-hour sessions, but even a 90-minute session is a good amount of time for certain age groups, but more of it. And I think that's where we fall short. We think winning is everything. So now, looking at the competitive side in your sessions, I have had a curiosity because I haven't seen one. Do you guys count goals, or do you guys work on, I'm going to use the example of a 1-2, just a simple give and take. And do you guys count that as the point, or do you count the goal at the end as the point? Because I feel like we as Americans, we have our perspective of this. And I just want to hear what your perspective of this is, because you're working on building technique and things along that line. So I'm just curious.
You mean counting of goals like during the game?
Yeah, in a game, because I heard a stat, and 86% of matches in most soccer developed countries, we're not soccer developed as much as we say we are here in the States, 86% of matches are not competitive.
Yeah.
And only, I used the number 50 because it's a good number to use. You play 50 games in a year, only 7 of them, they're keeping true score. Yeah. Kids will keep score in a game no matter what. Parents keep score. But when you say 43 games are only for learning purposes, and it was given to me by a coach, the guy that coached in the EPL, and he was telling me that 86%, he didn't give me the number, but someone else gave me the number. But he goes, they got points based on completing a 1-2, not putting the ball in the goal. If the ball went in or not, it was, coach, how many points did we earn this game? It was not how many balls they put in the net. It was how many times they completed something they were working on in training. Do you guys look at it more of that, so you keep track of those statistics versus things in their sessions when you have the small groups, if it's consistent, they're the same kids?
Sometimes we have short games, 1v1, 2v1, so you can maybe you can count the passes, you give them points. But we count goals, yeah. I think very important for us. It's not a big deal, but kids are competitive. This is a competitive environment, so you have to teach them. You just don't go there and just work on the passes. The whole point is to put a ball into the goal, and you have to teach them also an early age. We don't put too much pressure on that, but of course, kids, when they score the goal, you support them.
You answered my question, and that's what I'm getting at. It's, you didn't put the emphasis on the goal, but you put an emphasis on how they got to the goal. And I think
it's not about the winning, but it's about scoring the goal, because that's why they want to play. They want to be competitive. Right. They want to score the goals. But if they lose 5-0, like what? Score 6-7 goals. But don't put too much pressure of winning. And also, we are Skills Academy. We don't have teams. We don't play. Right. So sometimes it's hard for coaches, because the parents expect them to have results, points, wins, the TD ones. For us, it's a little bit easier.
I think that's the thing. How do I describe it? People get confused between skill training and team training.
Yeah,
and yes, you are right. You're teaching them to put the ball in the goal. But I think as the older age groups you have, I'm just assuming as a parent, this is maybe my misunderstanding. And it's about the development. And
that's the thing. If you play small games, you always have to be on the other half if you want to score, because that's not how you score the goal, that you kick the ball. Yes, you will do it once per your lifetime that you're gonna hit the goal from the half of the field. But that's not, imagine we just take a ball, kick the ball, 1-0. The other kid quick take a ball, kick the ball again from the whole field, right? So you have to get the goal somehow, right?
That's what I'm looking for, is that I think it's so easy. And for some kids that have such great finishing that they can hit a goal 30 yards away, and it's no fun, where being pushed to the limits and pushing them to get to that goal. I like how you said you make them start. They have to score on their
half. I don't think it's, many times it happens when we play 1-on-1, the player beats the player. He's in front of the goal, and he on purpose cuts the ball back, lose the ball. This is driving me crazy. If you already beat the player, don't make a fun again from the player and score a goal, right? Because that's the main thing in soccer, to score goals. And you have to realize if you have the chance to score the goal, because then you get the habit in your game. I beat the player, I can score. No, I cut the ball back, and then I try to beat the player again. that has to be some balance between making fun or too much, yes, and then be the player, score a goal, easiest, quickest way to the goal.
So, I can tell you as a parent watching five soccer games or four soccer games this weekend with kids, between my two kids, I got a total of five. And the between the four that I was able to watch, the biggest pet peeve is parents. One, they can't use their weak foot. And the second one, they will not put the ball in the goal. They, like you said, they will beat the player and take six more touches and then lose the ball. And all they had to do was a simple little toe poke. Not nothing fancy, just a little poke and putting the ball in, and they would have scored. And I think you nailed it on the head. For me as a parent, that's huge. Now, as you're going through this process with them, do you find the older age groups to be... I tell my son that when you get to a certain age, your sport is your job. And you can find fun in anything you do. It's up to you to find that moment. I can honestly say I've only had one job I've ever hated, and I've worked some mindless jobs. I did landscaping for several summers. And the job that I disliked the most was not a manual labor job. It was an office job. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, is how do you foster the love? Because like you said, it comes down to, you guys might spend 1 or 2 days with them, but how do you foster that love in the short time that you have with these players, once a week, or if you're lucky enough to have them more?
First of all, I think they are born with the love. So it's up to the coach if he is going to make you to hate it or like it. I see from my experience in Vancouver, it's a city where it rains a lot during the winter. So a lot of kids by the age 14, 15, they drop soccer and they go to basketball. Why? Because it's inside. And secondly, because they don't love it enough. I always give example of one of the boy we used to train, and he's in Holland now, second division. He grew up on farm. By the age 13, he was playing outside on his own, outside of the club. His dad built his field and he loved it. He was training. He would come to skills training every Sunday, and I wouldn't have to even push him, because honestly, from just taking a look and watching the body language, if the boy or the girl loves the game. And once it gets more serious by age 13, 14, if you don't love it enough, then you see that those kids, it's harder because they are teenagers, becoming teenagers. Some kids, we see that from our experience. By the age 15, my friends, they were going out on this, hanging out with the friends, and I had to go to training. So you really need to love it. You have to have passion and love for the game to stay motivated. But of course, coaches can help by positive environment, pushing them enough, being there for them if they have a problem. But it's just a certain amount of the time, because the parenting, you have your child at home. We have influence, but we have just tiny bit. Coaches have a tiny bit, but you as a parent, you have them most of the time at home. And I believe if you're a football player, soccer player, and you love it, you don't have to be pushed too much at the age 14, 15. Because we are almost professional by 15. I got a contract when I was 16. And they gave me contract because I had to be professional 7 days a week. I have to behave as a professional. And if you don't behave by the age 16 professional, you will never be a professional. So this is motivate them, push them, but be part of them. Like, they need to feel that you are there for them, not just for ourselves.
Looking at this as what you guys are doing, and I feel like you guys are pushing them to be a professional. Do you feel like the model that the FA put out then? This is me being curiosity as a parent. U8, what is it? Make sure I get this right. From U10 and younger, it's train to train, learning how to train. From U15 to U11, it's training to develop. And then U16 and on, you're training to win. And my understanding, this is the FA model for training sessions. I know that you guys deal with the skill side of this, but do you feel for parents to need to fully understand that then? Because as a parent that has a 10-year-old child, I have a 6-year-old, but her love is soccer and gymnastics. And so it's a different story. I'm going to use my son as the example. Do you feel that these kids that are moving through this progression, us parents need to fully understand what that means? Because when we come to you, we're coming to you for them to train to train. I'm using a 10-year-old, so I think he's above average. So he's training to develop at this point in time. He's training to be the best him that he can be. How do you guide parents then in your sessions to understand that type of thinking? Because they need, as a parent, what type of feedback do you give us after sessions? I'm not saying every session because that's just too much. Do you guys have a report you give families based on where their kids are at so they can get feedback so they can say player A is struggling with their first touch? They have a good first touch. They're in the right group with you guys, but they're struggling with their first touch. This is what we would recommend using what program you guys might have set up or something at home. Do you have programs like that for parents to have a better understanding?
So we communicate with parents either in person or online with the parent, with some of them more if they ask us even more for the feedbacks. We do have things like we recommend. Sometimes we go against our business that we recommend them to do stuff at home and then come back instead of joining our academy, right? Try to give those players as much of professional training what's possible, right? But also we recommend them to work at home alone, especially for the younger kids. That the things what they can do at home, that's simple passes to the wall, that's juggling, because we don't have that much time to juggle 10-15 minutes during the session, which is one of the most important things, which I believe for the improve your touch and the first touch and the touches in general. And you can do that alone. You don't need to spend money for that and driving somewhere to just juggle, right? So we talk to parents, we recommend them what to do, and giving them the feedbacks.
But in general, 10 years old, let's put it this way, your son, in general, the training for in our skills is the same. A lot of touches on the ball. So we have a group of 8 players. Let's say your son is in between. The training is the same for everyone. Then it's up to the player if he's more talented, if he wants it more, if parents want to get more involved and want to push him more, then we can have a conversation. But mostly, we don't differentiate. When you are 10 years old, you need to still same touches on the ball, lot right. of touches on the ball. But of course, they are all individuals. They are all different. Some of them is lefty. Someone has to work more on left foot. Then it's the individual approach. Then we can recommend you. We can do private training. But in overall, 10 years old, like some parents just, they want to have a report, two pages, and they want to, let me tell you something. No, it doesn't work like that. A 10 years old kid, they need to train in team environment with parents also. They need to train even on their own outside and backyard. And once they get older, then you see more mistakes and you can adjust them. But back in days when we were 10 years old, we didn't have a skills coach. If I would ask my dad, hey, can you pay for my skills coach? And say, you know what, take the ball, go outside, hit the ball 10,000 times. Now, because everything is structured and now it's a big business, and especially North America, it's pay to play. Of course, it's changed a lot, but we don't do too much report. We communicate with parents. I can give you my opinion, but even if it's 10 years old, I say in 2 years, it can be absolutely different. But you know that if you come to us, you trust us, and we want to develop your son as much as we can.
And I'm not saying a 2-page report, but giving some type of guidance. It's,
definitely.
No,
definitely.
I feel like as a parent, if you tell me my son needs to go work on his first touch,
yes,
homework, whatever you want to call it, yes, between sessions.
Recommendation. Right. Your recommendation, but when he's 14, 15, then I can go more serious.
Right. I feel like the structure is different then.
Yeah.
Now, as you get to those older ages where you can go sign a pro contract, maybe not here in the United States. I guess you can here in the United States, the youngest player is 15-something that's signed, or 14. How do you prep those players for these next stages? I can't imagine what you would do, because the intensity level would have to be so high, because I've seen some U16 levels coaching, and I've seen some U22 play, 22-year-olds. And the sessions sometimes look identical because of the intensity level and the expectation. Do you guys foster those private sessions or group sessions differently once they get to U14, we can use that age, much more differently than you would the U18? Or are you still just based on the talent in front of you?
No, it's Alex said before, the kids in Europe are developed in much higher intensity because you, like I saw, I from my experience in Canada and US, I see those trainings, team trainings. Coaches like to talk, not all of them, but it's very hard for the kids and it's very sad because you have very talented players, but they want to go to pro, but basically for the past 2 years, they were not training in like the way how kids are able to, kids are training in Europe, kids are developing in Europe. So it's sad, but let's say one boy wants to go to Europe and I tell him straightforward, like I see your game, I watch your games and I see how you work in training. Then I can tell you, okay, honestly, I can bring you, we can bring you to tryout. Maybe you have a possibility to play in Europe, but then we have to find, we have to figure it out what level, because if not, most of the players can go and play high level in Europe. So what do you really want? If you want to go and just do experience and go there for 1-2 weeks tryouts and just compare yourself with European, that's fine. But if you're really thinking go pro and move there and you are past, you play for the just local cup club here, then I tell, we tell them straightforward, it's not, it's impossible. It's impossible because you, it's the same like Czech players, a hockey player, they want to go to Canada. They want to go to NHL because Europe in soccer, it's culture. Every player in Spain wants to be soccer player. So don't expect like from Vancouver somewhere from the park that you're going to go pro in Spain. It's impossible. And also, unfortunately, European coaches, they're looking at Canadian and US players still that I know that from my experience, I wanted to offer one player to go to some Germany and they say, why would I bring some Canadian if I have 20 players, European and in the same area, in the same region?
For the boys' side. For the girls' side, yeah. It's a little bit different that they love American and Canadian players because of the history of women's soccer here, right? The Europe is building, the rest of the world is building program for women's and they are a little bit behind, but they are catching up very quick. You can see it in the national team that the USA is not dominating anymore. But there is still big interest in girls, in American and Canadian girls, to bring them. We had more talks about with the people from Czech clubs and Holland clubs and German clubs to bringing the girls to Europe, which we are planning and we are preparing the travel teams. And it's going to happen this end of this year and possibly in summer next year. But for the boys, you have to be two levels up as a foreign players if you want to go to Europe. Even in me, I went to Porto and I went from one soccer country to another soccer country. But I would have to be two levels better because why would they pay for all those flights, accommodation, food, and all the paperwork, everything, if they have the same person, the same player from Portugal? It would be easy for them just to take Portuguese player. That's the thing. You really have to be very good to succeed in Europe. And also in Europe, you go there and it's a war. Yeah. It's on every practice, it's a fight. It's a war for your spot because there is only 18, 20 players in Bayern Munich. There is only 20 players in Borussia Dortmund, in Ajax Amsterdam. And everybody, every player from Holland, from that country, want to be in the best club. And there is only limited spots. They don't open another U15. So it's, and then you have foreign players, talented,
yeah,
who they try to steal your domestic player spot.
There is players from US and Canada signing up in Europe right now. And I just recently got back with one player and in out of three clubs, two clubs, they want him. And he comes from Vancouver. So in Madrid, first division club, they want him. So Czech first division club, they called me. I went to the club, said, Libor, I don't know what it is, but 2 weeks ago, we had a boy from Chicago, 17 years old, and we want to sign him. We're waiting until he turns 18. We want to sign him. He's different than our Czech boys. My boy, what I brought him as you say, Libor, he stepped on the field. He was so confident. His first touch was much better than ours. And we don't know why, what we do wrong. So you will have those players. No one can tell you right now that you cannot play. You can go pro. Another boy, what I used to train, he just signed his 2009. He's 14 years old. He signed in Holland, first division, Heerenveen. So you have, there is, You have those players in US and Canada, they will be signing in Europe. So because putting more money, more coaches from Europe, players taking it seriously, they have a dreams. And we like it. We like it. We want to open the doors for American players to go to Europe, not only for 2 to 1 week tournament or something like that, but really be signed. Because why not? Why not? If you're good enough, go and we will support you.
Recently, we helped one player. He's 20. He plays for university, and he's from Dallas. So we helped him to get to Europe to third division club, and they liked him. He liked that. It was a good experience, and he wants to come back to try in second division to become professional, right? Once he finishes school. So we have those contacts and possibilities to connect more Europe with the States. And we are preparing a lot of good things step by step. So exciting news for us connecting Europe and States
That was
and Canada.
that's what I just wrote down was your connection. So you have that bridge to help players. It's not just a skills academy, but you can help them be placed somewhere outside of the United States or within the United States. You mentioned you had the MLS connection also. So that is key. I think so many skills coaches out there today don't have connections. They can train great players, but sounds like you can take them to the next step if that's where they want to go.
That's true, and we don't want to be just the skills academy, just do soccer stuff. We want to do also outside, like be a big family for those players to feel good there, to build relationships, right? Memories and
Connections.
the connections. That's what we want to do even outside of the box, not on the field, and that's it. And of course, if you want to Europe take you serious here as our skills academy or Wolf Soccer, you have to have the structure, right? You've been to our to the new facility, Ulithe and South Lake. We rent the field. We pay a lot of money for the field, right? So if we decide to just make money, we can go to park, don't pay for the field. But no one will take you serious from the Europe if you will be developing players in the park and then trying to get the players to Europe, right? Because the big part also of now world is social media. So they see all what you do. They see how you impact the players. So that's why we wanna have a structure. We wanna have a field. We don't wanna cancel practices. We wanna be consistent. We wanna give service to our players, to families all year long.
Yeah.
And that's our philosophy. That's what we want to do. Act like the professionals on the field, outside of the field, and build that bridge, North America and Europe. And of course, we have the academy in Uganda, in Africa.
It's
So we try to connect all the world. And that's our dream, to connect all the continents, all the countries. And the tool is soccer, right? So it's connecting the world. And the culture and everything.
I like how you said you're using soccer as the tool. Now, how would you, as these players progress, let's say you start with a player that's 8 years old and working with you all the way through, and they're 16 years old, do you use this to teach them? I always advocate using it as an educational tool, teaching how to talk to your coaches. I feel like you may build a better relationship with a player because you see them all the time. Even their team coach may see them all the time, but you might be able to break it down to more of a personal relationship. Do you feel like you're able to give them the confidence they need to when they go and try out for a team? We're hitting that season right now, and about, I guess it's right now, actually, and next month it becomes the Wild West of the tryouts season. So do you feel like you're going to be able to build their confidence enough so when they put their first foot on that field, they can go out there and participate? Or do you?
That's the thing, you don't only develop the soccer side, but you develop as a human, as a person, and his or her confidence, right? Because the first is body language. All the scouts, all the coaches, all over the world, they need to see the body language, right? If you are not, and even the players in the tryout, or in the club, if you're not confident, they can feel it, they can see it. They will steal your spot when you are not confident. So first of all, you have to be confident, but confident means that you trust in your skills, and then you're that you know that you can perform, right? So that's the key. But yes, it's a trial season and you have to step on the field, and it's also the pressure for younger players here, right? But it's the same in Europe, you're under the pressure as well. But yeah, you have to perform. You have to step on the field with the confidence, and that's what we teach them also. Like if coach talks, or if any adult talks, or if you talk as a player, that we all gonna listen. Coach is gonna listen. You don't turn back to coach when they talk, right? So you also teach them the thing outside of soccer.
Awesome. So that's just a quick recap. So what programs do you all offer? What program? So you have your skills, your group sessions, and what else do you have?
Yeah, so speaking about Dallas, we have group sessions, we have private trainings, we have shooting practices, and we have pickup games. Everything is on our website, wolfsoccer.us. You can find all the information there, the schedule, and we always offer the first training free to the player to come to see what we do, to also see his level or her level, if she or he fits to the group. And then we talk after the practice, what's the best step for your child and what we
now,
can.
My question is, I'm looking at this as the total player package. Do you guys work on defense for the players? Because I feel there is both sides of the pitch, and I feel the poor defenders are always left out all over the country here in the States. And because every parent wants their kid to be a Haaland or a Messi, not even a Messi, but a Haaland, a striker, a Ronaldo, whoever you want to call it, Jesus Ferreira here in the Metroplex.
We don't have the program at the moment for defenders, just specific for defenders.
And I tell you why, because again, main methodology is to bring their trained technical ability better. So we don't have time to teach someone like this. Basically, the same training for us, it's 6 till 14, is the basically the same touches on the ball, giving them confidence on the ball. Once they get older, okay, so what they do in European clubs, once 15 years old, they switch, they separate them strikers, they do shots, shooting, and they do the defenders, and basically they do 1v1 long balls and stuff like that. But I don't think so that 10 years old kids need to work on the defending skills. First, they need to learn, like we said, foundation. Ball, footwork, control, first touch.
I just asked because you talked about shooting because I feel like as a parent, I feel like my son's natural talent is midfield, and that's both sides of the field. And he can spend all day working on shooting, but if he can't learn to angle his body the right way to defend, but that from the sounds of it, you can work on that in the small groups to teach them to push the player to the touch line or the end line, whatever it may be. I'm just trying to see what's out there because I'm trying to understand.
This one kind of, it can be done in the private practices, right? Yes. You can explain them a little bit.
Yeah.
I wouldn't too much focus on him like to fix his errors. I would just develop his what he likes to, because if he's 10 years old, he just need to feel
right. It's about touches at this age. I'm just looking at as you get to the U14, U15
Definitely.
Years old. That's what I'm more looking at, because like you said, it's all about those healthy touches. You learn through the street game on how to defend at a younger age. But I'm looking at, there's all these, when you get to the older ages, you get all these shooting camps. I'm looking at social media. That's all I'm looking at. And shooting camps, but shooting camps, and there's nothing for
defenders. We've been asked about defenders.
But it's pretty good. I think this is our VSA. This is our model. What we believe in, of course, there is going to be, if there is academy for defenders, why not? If you feel it, why not? But for us, we basically believe in this, in our model, and this is the most important for us. But
that's fine. I'm just trying to get an understanding, because as a parent that has, you have goalkeeping camps, academies, you have, and there is, and I don't get me wrong, I think every defender should be able to hit hit the ball outside the 18, pinpoint accuracy, no different than your right wing, left wing, or midfielders. But
I also think there is nothing wrong about you maybe defender camps and you teach them more about 1v1 and defense. There is nothing wrong about it. It's just we don't have a space for that, and we don't have kind of
at the moment, we don't have the capacity
for that. I'm just curious because
maybe for the future,
maybe you gave us idea, and next year we're gonna have a Wolf Soccer defender camp.
And that's the thing, it's like I look at this as the total package. Even if my player was a striker, I would send him to something where he has to go work on defense, because the one thing that a coach ingrained in me that I talk to is that your first line, your first defender is your striker when you lose over the ball after a missed shot. And if they can go out there and win the ball back just as good as they can shoot the ball, they're going to be more likely to be successful to go get a chance to go try out for a big club or go off to college, because that's where 99, I would say 90% parents are looking for is college.
By some age, I would say 12 and 13, you should be able to play. You should change positions to gain all the understanding where you should move. And then it would be your big advantage if you can use 2-3 position. Like if you are central back, that you can be number six, you can be right back. If you are winger, you can be right back, right winger, maybe in the middle. But starting like 13, you should be more focused on your 1-2 main position, right? But until age of 12, you should be able to do all the positions, especially when you're winning 6-7-8-0, just switch all the players. Let them play maybe with the left foot only or weaker foot. I don't mean to disrespect the other club, but that's what some teams they do. Okay, we are winning 5-0, 6-0 in the tournament. Let's play only 2 touches now, right? Or let's
challenge a little bit,
right?
It's not being disrespectful. I don't find that to be disrespectful. That's pushing your players to be better, and it also opens the game to be more challenging for your players. It's pushing your players to be better. Yeah. I won't disagree with that comment. When you're up by a lot and your offense now becomes your defense now becomes your offense. Yeah. And maybe pull out a goalie and let the goalie go out there and have some field time, because...
And also, maybe even if you're not winning that much, by the age 7, 8, 9, 10, they have to switch positions so they understand. And it gives you even better understanding as a defender. If you play striker, okay, how I'm moving. So I'm moving now there because there is a ball. So as a defender, I will predict when the striker can move, right? It's all connecting, the all position. Just the goalkeeper. They are special. The goalkeeper.
They are special.
He still plays in Germany. So they are special.
No, I won't. That's the one that my wife and I will always argue to this day. I'm starting to have my philosophy changed. Learning the FA model about U16 is when you time to win. 14, 15 years old is when you start picking and designating your specialty. And every play, like my son's had a private coach a few years ago, and he goes, I was a midfielder. Now he plays attacking left back. But he can go and play in midfield because it's no different for him playing that position than his left back position, because it's just he might be playing a defending mid instead of a role versus a left attacking left back. But he did really well when he played here in Texas.
Sometimes the best thing what can happen that from offensive player you become defensive player, and it's your jackpot. That happened to many players. It's easier to get from offense to defense than from defense to be a killer instinct striker. But I know many stories and many players, not all, but I think a lot of people know the stories that the winger became a right back and it's more successful in his career, right?
So
nothing wrong to get to defense.
Now, you guys are located at U Elites in Southlake, correct? Do you guys only do training sessions out there here in the Metroplex?
We have a second location, Rockwall.
Rockwall. Now, I'm going to wrap this up here with you two and give you back a little bit of time. But these two questions might take some time because there's two of you. Because you both have played and you guys are coaching, I always ask, who has been your greatest influence as a player? So it could be a teacher, a coach, a parent, a family friend. Same thing as a coach. It could be someone that has motivated you to be the best coach that you are today. Whoever wants to go first can go.
Go first, I go to washroom.
So as a player, I was always watching Zinedine Zidane. He was one of my heroes. He was very technical because I was also the one who enjoyed to play with the ball. I was never player just run. Like, I used to like to play more with the ball, although some coaches, they didn't like it. They give me a hard time. But maybe because of that, I have right now the job I love. It's my dream job. I enjoy that. So Zinedine Zidane, definitely. And the coaches, I think my friend Andy from Dortmund, because he was the one who basically, he showed me almost everything and he built my career, because without him, I wouldn't be able to do that. Because since 2016, I've been coming to Dortmund like twice a year. And he was always the one, he was my mentor. He was always the one to share. The coaches, which are very confident, they like to share. And from my experience and the years of traveling, because I travel a lot and I visited many clubs, the one who actually are very confident in what they do, they like to share. Then you have the coaches, they have the biggest certificates, they are insured, so they want to keep everything for themselves. Definitely Zidane and my friend Andy, he's a great coach in Germany.
And for me as a player, I loved, when I was growing up, Brazilian national team, and I love Rivaldo as a player. And coaches for the team coaching or for my professional career, I was lucky I had many great coaches. And like, to understand soccer and professionalism, I would say it was Martin Hašek. He's a former AC Sparta Prague player. He was in Russia, he was in Austria, and he played against Real Madrid, and he gave me the really understanding of tactical and of how you should act as a professional, not on the field, but outside of the field as well. And then I would have to say for the skills, since I became a coach in Libor's Academy, then I was learning from him from day one in 2020. I would say Martin Hašek and Libor.